Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
I was honestly more impressed with the game that Caleb Williams played today against the Raiders than what we saw from him last week against Dallas.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Hedden, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
Heck yeah, man. It is the Rahimi Harris and Grody Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Layla shall return tomorrow when we broadcast live from Gallagher Way starting at 10 a.m. in anticipation for the Cubs and the Padres. We are blessed to have Big Ant with us in studios. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline, which is our Score Studios. Download the Circa app today. What up, Anthony Herron? How are you, sir?
What up, fellas? What up, Groats? What up, Marshall? Yeah, good to be here in person, hang with you cats for a little bit, and figured I'd take advantage of the opportunity.
I love it. Yeah, come hang with us every weekend, studio. Listen, let's go back to something you said in your open right there,
man,
about this performance from Caleb being better than the one or one that you liked more than what you saw against Dallas.
Yeah.
It's funny because Tim Jenkins, we just had on breaking down the tape, and he kind of alluded to the fact that there was progress there. What did you see?
The progress just in the mechanics of the quarterback position, I would say that's you're evaluating that on a different scale because of the environment that he had to play in against the Raiders. Everything was clean against the Cowboys. The O-line dominated, at least from a pass protection perspective. The receivers caught the ball, ran crisp routes. The defense continued to hold the opponent back and pin them down. And over again, we just saw an offense that was able to take the field and a quarterback able to take the field with just his pick of playmakers to be able to deliver the football to who were frequently open. And so, yes, he played a very efficient, consistent, and impressive game against Dallas. This was very different, though, the situation he was in against the Raiders, because you had a Raiders offense that was dictating terms frequently to the Bears defense until the Bears defense would come up with a miraculous takeaway. But even Geno was able to deliver the football pretty cleanly because he wasn't under a lot of duress. And, of course, the Raiders' ground attack was controlling the action. But then the pass protection for the Bears was so spotty and inconsistent. Caleb was under constant duress. He had Cole Kmet dropping passes frequently in the game, even in moments where Caleb is trying to have sort of some of these Herculean special quote-unquote kind of moments where he was able to put the ball in a – I mean, it would have been one of the more miraculous throws and catches that we've seen. One of these passes where Caleb is extending the play laterally just near the sideline, fires one up there, and you're thinking, is he throwing that away? No, Cole Kmet actually with two defenders right near him gets
almost
both mitts on the ball and doesn't come up with it. But there was a couple other drops that were more basic, far more basic than that. And so many things around Caleb were not clean and were not effective in game, and he still stayed within himself. He was still able to kind of keep the Bears in the fight throughout with the help of that defense. And he didn't try to do too much. There were a couple of those moments. There was one where he's throwing back across his body over the middle that was a potential interception. But overall, with all the chaos that was there and with all the substandard performance that was there, having Caleb under duress, he still performed within like a command of the moment of these situations in game that, to me, that's one of the moments that that's a performance that can separate him in my mind. Because when everything is good, a lot of quarterbacks at this level can play well when your O-line is great and when your receivers are great and when your coach is dialing things up where guys are running scot-free. A lot of guys at this level can look great doing that. But what we saw Caleb do in Vegas, where a lot around him was bad, it's hard for the Bears to win consistently as a team when that's the case. But that performance was far more impressive to me than what he did against Dallas.
So he overcame adversity and still kept up a decent amount of poise. Is that kind of where you're coming from with that? So I guess that leads me to believe that Theo Benedet and Ozzie Trapillo and everything that the Bears were trying with the offensive line, it doesn't mean these guys are bad players, but just pretty bad. Pretty bad what they put out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was fairly obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, I ask that
because we tend to give guys the benefit.
Just because they won.
And because Max Crosby was not as destructive in the second half as he was in the first half. And that's officially when Braxton Jones came out of the game. To begin the third quarter, you had Theo Benedet.
It was really the end of the second quarter, I think. That was the first time I noticed.
Did he go to left tackle at the end of the second quarter?
I believe it was the very last drive of the second quarter. Now, I haven't gone through my second watch through of the game, but to my eye, that was the first time I recall noticing, like, oh, Braxton Jones isn't at left tackle anymore. I think that was when they put Trapillo in and Benedet, and then they flopped them sides. I believe it was the final drive of the second quarter, just as far as specificity of it. But Max Crosby was still in the backfield constantly throughout the second half of the game. Now, Ben Johnson did, and I haven't heard, you know, how he addressed things with the media today, if he has yet or not. But there were a few small adjustments that I saw him make just as far as the way he was scheming things up. We saw sometimes they would choose not to block Max Crosby in the first half, which is fine. When you run some RPOs and when you run some read options, you're going to have unblocked defenders off the edge. Mm-hmm. But one thing that Max Crosby had shown a lot on film so far this season that he handled differently yesterday, he was what we call spilling a lot of blocks. And whenever run scheme or motions or, you know, different pullers would come at him, he would pretty frequently run under that block in a mode to try and either crash down on a play that looked like it had a chance to go inside, or if it was kind of a zone play away, and he would immediately just go directly toward what presents as the point of attack. Yesterday, he wasn't going down toward the interior of the action as much as just flying directly up the field and blowing everything up. So it did seem that that was sort of a game plan strategy for the Raiders to just allow Crosby to immediately get up the field and be more the force contained player as opposed to the spiller on a lot of the misdirection action that the Bears like to use with some of the things they were doing out of the backfield. And there's few players in football that do that as effectively as him, just constantly making avoid moves, swipe moves, using two-way goes, and using a lot of the suddenness that he has as an athlete to just seem unblockable. But he's not overwhelming people physically. He's just so elusive with his movements. And he's got such an incredible get-off that's so consistent. But it's a part of why he's able to play so many snaps, because you don't see Max Crosby constantly wrestling with the offensive tackle every individual play. That takes a lot more force and durability to handle that. By comparison, like Montez Sweat, every time he comes out of his stance virtually, he's wrestling with somebody. And that's, you know, I've heard the comparison a lot trying to figure out, well, why does Crosby play so many plays and Sweat doesn't?
Yeah, right.
Crosby's in amazing shape. There's no doubt about that.
The cardio is ridiculous.
But his style of play is just different than the way Montez Sweat plays the position.
But he's always motoring Max Crosby. I understand what you're saying. You're like, there's a lot to be said for, you know, going head-to-head with a guy that's going to take a lot out of you. But this dude's running all over the place.
Sure, receivers play more snaps than defensive ends do. Like, their position is just being played differently. And my point is not that Max Crosby is not a physical player, but there's a lot more finesse and a lot more avoidance of collision in the way that Max Crosby plays the game. He's an incredible player, and he does what he does as well as we've seen anyone do it. Style of play-wise, he's different than Montez Sweat, and he's more of a playmaker than Montez Sweat, partially because of that. I would love to see Montez Sweat play more like he did against Dallas, where there was more avoidance in the way that Montez Sweat rushed the quarterback against the Cowboys.
He wasn't a magnet against defenders.
Yeah, that's a little more elusive, is what you're saying.
That's what strikes me. So here's what it comes down to, and I'll be very simple here. The Bears cannot stop the run. The Bears cannot run the football, which is a bigger problem in terms of what can be actually corrected quicker, their ability to run the football or their ability to stop the run?
I'm more concerned by their inability to stop the run because Tremaine Edmonds has been on the field all season. Tremaine Edmonds played well against Dallas last week, but one of the things that suited Tremaine Edmonds in the Cowboys game was because the Cowboys offense was largely lateral and a lot of dink and dunk to players who were near the line of scrimmage. And so for Edmonds, his athleticism being so off the charts and his range as a linebacker, there were huge tackle numbers because he could just see something happen outside the tackle box and fly to the football. That's what he's always been great at because he's such an incredible athlete. And then, yes, the interceptions, really impressive plays in pass coverage. But the approach the Raiders took yesterday where they said, we're just going to run Ashton Jeanty downhill at you, Tremaine Edmonds, and I've talked to you guys about it a bit already this season, his ability to quickly diagnose his run fit and react forward, downhill at the run, there's still some improvement that has to happen there. Like that 64-yarder and, frankly, a couple of other runs that got out the gate from the Raiders yesterday, Tremaine Edmonds seemed to try and react with more assertiveness, more urgency toward the line of scrimmage, and just misread it. Read it wrong and allowed the back, the running back, whether it was Mostert or frequently Jeanty, of course, to just get out the gate. And then you get Ashton Jeanty. I mean, those big thighs, once they get up on the second and third level, he's really difficult to bring down. That's always been the case with him.
Yeah, this segment being brought to you by a segment with Anthony Heron, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1968. Yeah, Raheem Mostert had a 37-yarder, Geno Smith a 20-yarder.
And there was a point I wanted to make about the offensive tackle situation. We kind of got away from it a moment as I was rambling about something else.
Please.
When they made the move, whether it was end of the second quarter, at halftime, or whenever they made the Braxton Jones move, I don't expect that Theo Benedict, Ozzie Trapillo, I don't expect either one of them to be able to block Max Crosby handily by themselves, and they didn't, because no one does. I mean, the best offensive tackles in the sport struggle with Max Crosby one-on-one, so that's not surprising to me. I do like them trying to get the young guys some action. There was a moment, you were probably there in person for it, Grode Out. I feel like it was like 2 weeks ago when Ben Johnson said something specifically about the stamina of Braxton Jones, right? Where he mentioned that first half he comes out and plays well. And then at some point in the game, he just, he seems to wear down a little bit. And I don't know, and Ben Johnson didn't say this specifically after the game yesterday, but I am curious because he's been referencing, like, they plan to get Ozzie Trapillo in games here. And they've obviously been getting Theo Benedict in games here. I do wonder how much of that was just specifically by plan, because Braxton Jones wasn't getting whipped any more than anybody else on the Bears offensive line was getting whipped by the Raiders in that game yesterday. Now, I know Braxton Jones is kind of the target because he's the one who most obviously won't be here moving forward.
Yeah.
They spent money on the three interior guys. Most of us think Darnell Wright is a potential star in the making as a right tackle. If he can gain some consistency here, if anybody's not going to be here next season, it's more obviously Braxton Jones than anybody else. But that doesn't mean his actual performance on film stood out amongst the rest of the crew. They just played poorly as a group for the majority of that game.
I'm 100% positive. I can't remember the day he said it, but he said, you're going to see Ozzie Trapillo in games.
He did say that. Yeah. And I wasn't sure.
And he also specifically said, Braxton Jones plays well in the first half and doesn't have I don't remember the exact phrase. I don't know if Robbie or Ray or somebody can find it. He basically almost like verbatim said, Braxton Jones, he starts well. He knows our playbook. He plays well early and like hasn't developed the stamina to continue playing well in the second half. They might have just specifically said, if we're out here chasing Max Crosby around the whole first half of this game, this might just be a game for us to limp into the bye week and get somebody else in there in the second half. I don't know. And why Ben Johnson wouldn't flat out say that, maybe it's just a strategic thing he doesn't want to specify, but Braxton Jones wasn't out there getting whipped any more than anybody else in the game yesterday.
It's interesting.
But doesn't this go back to like the question I posed to, I think, both of you at the beginning of the season, like coming out of the bye, do we expect to see Ozzie Trapillo starting at tackle? This would seem to feed into that notion, would it not?
My hope is that it's based off him earning that. And you know, I haven't seen anything on the field yet that indicates to me Isaac Chipillo is a better option at offensive tackle than Braxton Jones.
And same thing with Benedet, I assume?
Now, Theo Benedet, to me, between the two of them,
yeah.
I at least see physical traits that impress me more for the potential as a left tackle
okay.
than Isaac Chipillo or Braxton Jones. Like his nimble nature, his ability to anchor, his ability to move folks in the run, I think there's a lot of potential there. Right now, it is potential over production. We've seen Braxton Jones in a lot of games. We know his ceiling, but at least his floor can play winning football. So I do wonder if they feel like they've seen enough for Isaac Chipillo to get out there and do better than Braxton Jones, by all means, go for it and upgrade the position. I haven't seen that yet.
So do you think taking Braxton Jones out, as you said, like he wasn't necessarily doing anything any more indictable than anybody else on the offensive line, like he was playing fine, is this just a let's see what we got move? Like, and I understand there's an injury there, but let's go into this game with a plan to, because he did say that in his head this was part of the plan potentially. Was it just let's give it a let's put our young guy in like you do with baseball?
I mean, the way he referenced it was looking for a spark, and so that would indicate it wasn't the exact plan going in. You want to spark things with an offensive tackle. It's not a way we would normally hear Coach Frame, like a player coming in for a spark, like a quarterback change is a spark, or running a skill position guy who's going to handle the football, normally thought of as someone who's going to spark things. So I'll be really curious to hear Ben Johnson kind of get into more depth on that move.
I think the bigger thing is when you talk about like the spark thing, it's more he's comfortable enough with Isaac Chipillo to throw him into that fire when you know what Max Crosby did in the first half of that game.
Yes.
That, to me, speaks volumes.
Right. And again, Max Crosby was doing it in that game, flying into the – like I'm sure there's probably clips circulating on social media of him running by Braxton Jones, but he didn't even rush against Braxton Jones that much in the first half. Like he was more so rushing against Theo Benedet. Like Max Crosby played more left, and they move him around all over the place. And I haven't – fishy business probably has the snap count somewhere.
Yeah,
to my eye from the first just live view of the game, I saw Max Crosby playing more left edge than right edge in the game. So it wasn't like they just said, hey, go out there and tee off on Braxton Jones and wreck the game. He was all over the place and more so rushing against the right tackle than the left. So I'm not here saying that Braxton Jones is an amazing left tackle. I'm just trying to think through logically – where they would have said, well, okay, if we take Braxton Jones out, then our offense is going to jumpstart. What happened in the second half of the game, Caleb ran all over the place. In the first half, he was a more stationary target, and they adjusted some schemes in the run game, and Caleb was running for his life, and it's a miracle that he only got sacked one time.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but it wasn't like they just started blocking everybody up in the second half of the game. Caleb was incredible in the second half.
Yeah, and it just feels like with Braxton Jones that almost since the second he was named the starting left tackle, the Bears have been looking for an upgrade. You know what I mean? Like,
and I hope they have it. I don't see evidence that they have it yet, but I hope they do.
Right. Obviously, that's it, because you look at it and say, yes, he is a fine tackle in the league, but it can be better, and I think that's what everybody's been saying since this guy was slotted in as a starter on that day at the Walter Payton Center when all of us were watching his beat reporters like the sky's part. What is happening? The seventh? Where's my guy Tevin Jenkins? Wait a minute here.
Not Tevin Jenkins. Yeah, where's Karana Magaji?
First time Isaac Chipillo stepped to the mic. Oh, there's a left tackle of the future.
That's
he's
right.
Big and he sounds mature. I hope the dude is great, man, but I want to see him block some folks.
There'll be no
first.
Anointing.
You're right, man. The segment with Anthony Heron is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. We have one more segment with Anthony Heron, who I would like to have share something that he's shared with me off the air, and that is at least a voice comp from Ben Johnson to a current quarterback. You also think he looks like this?
I think so.
This quarterback, and we'll see if the textures can get it. There's a quarterback in the league currently, a veteran quarterback in the league that Anthony compared to the hype speech that Ben Johnson gave at the end, and he thinks he looks a little bit like him. So that will be among the things we will talk about with Anthony Heron when we return on Raheem Harris and Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Braxton is, he's doing a good job in terms of knowing the game plan. I think he started the first half of each game really strongly, and we probably haven't had the second half finish that we wanted.
There it is. That is Bears head coach Ben Johnson.
I'm pleased with my memory on that.
Yeah, very good. Talking about Braxton Jones.
I wasn't verbatim, but yeah, I mean, that was the premise that he delivered there. And my memory isn't always great with that stuff, so I'm happy. If my shoulders didn't hurt so bad, I would pat myself on the back. But now, I'm just, like I mentioned, I'm trying to think through logically, Groats and Marshall, just where that fits into things. And it's hard for me to view it just in the micro, because the offensive line as a unit has struggled. But then, is it just about the moment? Is it about nurturing some of the young talent and making sure you're getting them some action? And, you know, I don't know. I didn't get the impression Braxton Jones spoke to the media after the game.
No, and I heard Biggs talking about, and I was not there, so I don't know the nitty-gritty details, but it sounds like they, according to Biggs, I think the team told him not to talk to the media or something like that. Mm. Maybe we'll get that cleared up, which only ever happens if a guy is injured.
It's intriguing.
Are we giving Jonah Jackson a free pass?
Ooh. He didn't play well.
That's what I'm saying.
I just kind of made the blanket statement the O-line as a group did not play well.
It's so easy to talk about those tackles.
Drew Dahlman didn't play well either.
Because people are moving and changing.
Yeah.
But
he had a bad
in
snap,
the middle,
Dahlman.
Yeah. Dahlman, Jackson, I don't think they've lived up.
And he got beat several other times.
And he got beat so much.
The bad snap was also there. But there were also times defensive linemen ran past him.
I don't think they've lived up to their expectations of the Bears front office or maybe themselves or the fan base, however you want to lay it out. Like, it's not just those young guys on the tackles that we're talking about here.
Yeah, very, very
or that
much,
we should be talking about.
Very much agreed. And now, at least in their case, Drew Dahlman has a resume of success prior to now. Joe Tooney, of course, has a resume of success up until now. Jonah Jackson, I guess, has more flashed. He hasn't been as consistently successful as his other two counterparts on the interior of the Bears offensive line. But those are guys who we view them as high-level players, certainly in the case of Dahlman and Tooney. But it is concerning. Now, the Bears' run game and the potential growth that can come from that will hopefully come from them just getting more snaps in game together. And that matters so much. The only group that's even close to how much continuity matters on a football team is the secondary. Like the defensive backfield, for all the landmarks they have to hit and the site adjustments that happen in a moment's notice, the communication, both verbal and nonverbal, DBs playing together a lot matters and helps. The offensive line, that's the only group beyond that, with how much just being next to each other on a consistent basis, and especially in moments of leverage, playing next to each other constantly, that impacts an offensive line. Especially when you're in the same scheme for a while, which these guys, of course, have not been. So I'm hopeful that we'll see more from the run game. I will still have questions about just the backfield itself, the running backs themselves, and how much that would end up accentuating even continued improvement from the guys up front. Because that has to work together in unison so well, the timing, the path of the running back, even the quarterback's footwork, where and how he's handing the ball off, when he's timing up the motion for a run to hit downhill. All these things have to come together at a really high level. So the O-line, even if they're like average to slightly above average, a run play can still not go well because someone else isn't like on time or hitting the right landmark as they should.
I know it's only been 4 weeks, but I feel like you should have a better run identity after 4 weeks coming out of this bye than what we currently see. And it makes me wonder if Ryan Poles might be in the interest for a trade. Is that a real option? I mean, it's the easiest to find position in the National Football League, running back.
Not offensive line.
Running back. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so you haven't addressed it adequately. I think we can all agree on that. So what is the next step, especially if you're going to be competitive? Let's say they win this game on Monday night, and they're 3-2, and they're looking ahead, and they're thinking, we have a chance to actually do something, anything this year.
Mm-hmm.
They need an upgrade in that running back room, right? They have to have one.
They need it to be accentuated. And so, upgrade for the group, yeah. And to go find someone who you would say is definitely like better than DeAndre Swift.
I'm not
that
even
takes
saying
the job
that.
From him, right. But just somebody else who gives you a little more punch.
Spark, dare I say?
Spark, right. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should be ruled out. And I would hope that the bye week would be an opportunity to evaluate some of that. And if they are, to your point, if they do start to get rolling here, to get another back in the room that can help, yeah, I think it's a nice thought. I don't know who's on the street right now that really gives you that potential.
I have a question because you brought him up last segment. Did Cole Kmet just miss his window to be a valued part of this offense in the way that he wants to be? And I asked that because Colson Loveland was out. This is your time to shine, right? Let me tell you what he did not do. He did not shine.
He didn't.
He did not catch the ball.
He did not catch the ball. He had two false starts. Like, you go down the line of all the things that Colson Loveland watched happen in front of him, like, oh, okay, I see.
You're going to need both of them, though. You will. So it's not mutually exclusive where, you know, either Colson Loveland is going to be here and be a part of things, or Cole Kmet will. Now, financially, some ramifications will come into things. But as far as just the 2025 season, you'll need both guys to play at a high level. And yesterday, to me, was Cole Kmet's first substandard game. He's been blocking his tail off.
He had
some nice blocks yesterday, too. But he's been blocking his tail off all season. And he's my main criticism of Cole Kmet throughout his Bears career is that he hasn't been a guy who's consistently reached his hands away from his body to go and snatch the football. And he's done that more consistently up to this early point in the season than I've ever seen him do. So up until yesterday, I really feel like Cole Kmet had been playing really well this season. Yesterday's game was not a shining moment for him.
Like Luther Burden did last week on the trick play where he just puts his paws up and clamps on the football. I mean, there's definitely something to that. You know, you've been pretty, you know, consistent with your opinions on Cole Kmet for sure. And we're talking to Anthony Heron here, analyst for us, 670 The Score, Fox 32 right across the street, Big Ten Network as well. Big Ant does it all. It's Raheemi Harris and Grody on the score. You talked about secondary and playing with guys more, and Tyreek Stevenson looking like he's put together back-to-back good games, made that diving athletic pick in the third quarter. Then he was also part of that. What a sick... You know, the defense had its problems, but it also forced some turnovers. That forced fumble in the first quarter, it's 3-0 Bears. Billings blows the play up, and then Noah Sewell finishes it, knocks the ball loose, and there's Tyreek Stevenson to recover it. I mean, that was a thing of beauty, quite frankly. But what do you think about Tyreek Stevenson?
It's a nice sort of rebound story so far through the last couple of games here, because the nation saw him embarrass himself with the game against Washington last year.
About to see him again.
Right, yeah. And he's
I'm
been
back.
He's been such a punchline for a while here. And then you have the fates of the team that have diminished so much since that moment also. And I've not wanted to give the 2024 Bears the big excuse of saying Tyreek sank everything, because there were a lot of sieves in there even prior to that where they weren't playing well on the road. And
a lot of holes in the boat.
Yeah, right. Then the Tyreek thing just, you know, it was kind of
convenient
the
for
glare.
Our story. Like, it was a starting point for every single person on the beat. Well, we could point to that
they
moment.
They were 4-2 and then that. But the 4-2, and you were actually, to your credit, out in front of that last year, Marshall. Even the 4-2 was a little bit shaky even before then. But this version, what we're seeing the last couple of weeks from Tyreek Stevenson, I've seen him. He's been like the feisty guy and the physical corner, the guy who's willing to either smack you in the face or rip the football away from you. He's willing to put up his dukes. He's been that guy his entire career so far. He's gone to another level in coverage, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what we've seen the last 2 weeks, and he's referenced his route recognition has been enhanced by the work he's put in during the week. And Jalen Johnson, one of the things that's made him special, yes, he's an exceptional athlete. And for his height, I don't know how much longer Jalen Johnson's wingspan is beyond his height, but he plays a lot bigger because he's got long arms. But he's such a student of the game and has such great route recognition and his knowledge of what his opponent is going to throw at him. Why Tyreek Stevenson hasn't fed off of that, off of how he's seen Jalen Johnson prepare and study and the impact it's had on him in game, I don't know why it's necessarily taken until now to get that. And maybe just another national type embarrassment was what kind of put him over the edge. But yeah, the feistiness, snatching the ball away and going up, making physical tackles. He's been that guy the whole time. But what he's doing in coverage right now is another level beyond we've ever seen him playing at.
That interception was just magnificent when we saw him diving. And I told Mark this earlier. I told our listeners, but I'll tell you. And I'm a firm believer that as Tyreek Stevenson has performed this season, has been a direct indicator of how the Bears are performing as a team. You look at what he did the first two games, no. You look at what he's done the last two games, yes.
Yes.
And they become this team of sort of opportunity that, hey, if we can just hang around long enough, Caleb will give us a chance to win. Somebody will make a play. And Stevenson's been a big reason why, well, yes, they cannot tackle anyone when it comes to the run game. But the pass defense has been okay.
And Dennis Allen deserves a lot of credit for both these aspects of what we're talking about here. Schematically, a veteran quarterback in Geno Smith, fooling him multiple times, once with actual pressure, later with simulated pressure, and just keeping him guessing in the pocket for what he's going to be able or allowed to do against the Bears' pass rush. And for the secondary to play at the level that they played at yesterday, while still not only Montez Sweat, but as a unit, they weren't putting a lot of pressure on Geno Smith. So guys, as a unit, weren't really getting home against a Raiders offensive line that had been under fire from their own fan base quite a bit, especially on the inside from what they've done. Colton Miller is a respected left tackle. He's a pretty good football player. But right tackle DJ Glaze, really young guy who's been beat a good bit this season. Jordan Meredith, the center position, he's a guy who a lot of folks felt like had been playing out of position. Jackson Powers-Johnson returns to the lineup, but the prevailing thought, at least from folks who evaluate the Raiders, is, well, Jackson Powers-Johnson's a better center. Why don't they put Jordan Meredith at guard instead, and that'd be the better unit? But they were able to lock up the Bears in pass protection. We didn't see them getting home, so a lot of credit to the Bears secondary for being able to perform at that level, because there are some talented playmakers between Bowers and Tucker.
Yeah.
You know, the Raiders got some guy that can go get the football, and the Bears were able to do enough to stymie them, and Dennis Allen deserves credit for that. But then also, whatever level of Al Harris and Dennis Allen being demanding of Tyreek Stevenson and challenging him to continue to enhance not only his competition on game day, but his preparation the other 6 days of the week, that we far too much ignore what it takes to really be ready for those 1 day a week.
Yeah, and that's going to have to be every single week. I get the feeling with Tyreek Stevenson that the coaches are going to have to stay on him, and he's going to have to remember. And he went through that whole list of things. That is Anthony Heron of 670, the Score, Fox 32 in the Big Ten Network. This is the Raheemy Harrison Grody Show. Layla off today. She will be back with us tomorrow when we're broadcasting from the Cubs at Gallagher Way, starting at 10 a.m. All right, we've got to do this here because we've got a doppelganger situation, a sound-alike and a look-alike for Ben Johnson. Anthony, would you like to reveal?
Yeah, I didn't. I check out the text line. I know you told some folks to take guesses, too. I didn't see if anybody took any guesses there. But to me, as soon as Ben Johnson got hired, because frankly, I hadn't paid close attention to him in the years he was in Detroit as the offensive coordinator, just like gazing at his face. But I remember thinking the first time they showed the video of him at Hallis Hall, like addressing all the Bears staff, looking around, I was like, man, that dude looks like Kirk Cousins. And it occurred to me in that moment, and then just every once in a while I see him on camera, I was like, man, he looks a lot like Kirk Cousins. Uh-huh. And so when they put the video out of him being in the locker room yesterday, and he's yelling to the team, how about that? How about that? Then immediately, like, oh, Kirk Cousins said, you like that? And so it was the same thing that just came to mind for me when Kirk Cousins is storming off the field when he was still playing in Washington. You like that? And then Ben Johnson,
you like
how about that?
Yeah. Here is how that sounds. Do we have both of the voices? Okay. Robbie Triano has put together a little treat for you, Ant, to see if the audience agrees with you.
You better, Ben! You like that? You like that? You better, Ben! You like that?
Pretty good, Big Ant.
I mean, I guess if two yelling guys were to sound somewhat the same, that would be it.
Right.
It was more the how about that part of it that put me in the you like that frame of reference. But just looking at Ben Johnson, looking at Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I see the resemblance, too.
I can see the resemblance. In the same place at the same time.
Yeah. Especially when they both look crazy. Like, they both have their crazy look going. Yeah, I see it.
You know, the Kirk Cousins version of that we just heard, it almost sounds a little bit like from Dumb and Dumber, the most annoying sound in the world, doesn't it? Just a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, you like that? You like that?
Wow.
It's really annoying.
Post-game locker room is an exciting place.
Hey, man, we'll take a lot more of those this year. What are they?
Yes, a lot of good, better, best.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to get a transcript of what exactly he's saying, though. After the good, better, best.
Oh, I got you.
Better than
good, better,
rest.
Best.
Never let it rest.
Never let it rest.
Oh, and then, okay, oh, you like, oh, you like that.
Then it's like a Michael Jackson song from there. It's just a lot of noises and sounds. There's no real lyrics that are happening. That's
it's
what
good,
MJ
better,
used to
best.
Do.
Never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best.
You like that?
Okay.
That's right. You like that? You like that?
Oh, got it. I'm on it.
All right.
Anthony,
that's what they claim he said.
Thank you for joining
Stevie
us for
Wonder,
2 seconds.
Yeah, thanks for
Jackson.
Coming in studio.
It's like fake lyrics. They're just
okay, careful. We're at threat right now for Anthony to start singing. Let's get out of here.
Okay, yeah. Let's
let the man go.
You like that?
No.
Good, better,
oh,
best.
My God. It is the Raheemy Harrison Grody Show. Thank you so much, Anthony Heron, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at Bragworthy prices.
at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, guys, check out this meatball machine.
Yeah, meatball machine is here. Raheemy Harrison Grody, you wait for it all week. And it is here. Let's play them in succession, shall we?
From the jaws of victory. Okay, Carlson's about to kick meatball machine. I'm watching, and it's blocked! Oh, hey, look at that. We won a one-score game on the road in a game that was stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-D. Gosh, we had drives of, like, what, -7 and -1 and all that other stuff. But we got ourselves a stop when we needed it. Holy bears! Let's go!
Meatball! I think we did everything possible to give that game up. That was puke fest. It was nasty. I mean, we just had two records that we just did. Think about it. We blocked a field goal for the first time since, what they say, 2020. And then last week, we ran a flea flicker, and I looked it up online. It said, for the first time since 1734. So we're doing some things that we haven't done in ages. We're 2-2, and that was a puke fest galore on all of it. Every single little piece of it. And then they're going to say, guess what? We got a 2-game win streak. Stop. We're going into a bye, hurt, brittled, and all that other stuff. But you know what? Bears.
Thank you so much, Geno Smith. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pete Carroll, and your weird, bad team for just being bad enough. But also, thank you, Josh Blackwell, for bailing out most of the damn team. Because between Cole Kmet's f***ery and the offensive line leaking and Caleb just not getting the ball over the line and getting it tipped and batted all over the place, this is the ugliest damn win I've seen in a long time. But thank God, we've got a good week coming up because Bears win and we got the Cubs in the playoffs. My friends, things are turning around.
Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs and Bears both won today.
Bear down, baby. Let's go, Cubby.
The Bears didn't f*** the bed. The Bears did not f*** the bed. How many games have they f***ed away for so many years? And now they didn't do it. Maybe that means something. Maybe it means nothing, but they didn't do it today.
What a glorious sports day it has been in Chicago. 82 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, perfect weather. The Cubs win, the Sox win, and the Bears come back and win. And, I mean, even though we couldn't stop a turtle if he was running a ball, we got the win anyway, and I honestly believe that this win was because of Caleb, and got to give that kid his props, because I haven't seen him do it until now, but this win was because of him. Got to say that. I think it needs to be said, and I think that was his signature win so far of his young career. Good job, Caleb.
Was that a fun game to watch? No. Was that a good game for Cole Kmet? No. Was that a good game for Braxton Jones? No. Was that a good game for the Bears' rush defense? No. Did you get any definitive answers on Caleb or Ben Johnson? Did you come out of that game with a win? Yes. Yeah, not everything else is there.
You know, I've been watching Bears football for almost 20 years, right? And let me tell you, I've never seen, this is the first time I've ever seen a kicker miss a field goal against the Bears, ever. Don't just trust me. Don't even look it up. You just got to take my word for it. I didn't even know this was possible a kicker to miss against us. Like, they're going to make me Bears.
So this is the last Meatball Machine coming up. I got tipped off to this one, and it's really nice that this person who is coming up, Charles, thank you for saying what you're about to say, but I kind of have beef with Charles, and I have to play it.
Bears. Grody. Grody. Bears. 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 All right. Love you guys. Layla. Marshall, you guys have saved that show at that time slot. I got to tell you. I'm just saying. And the new Ray Diaz, and then, oh, man, is it Baby D or something like that? I think it's something like that. Yeah, you're good. Everybody's good. I love it. Keep doing it.
What the hell, Charles? What the hell?
Baby D is in the house today,
you
as
know
a matter
what,
of
though?
Fact.
I get it, because, like, if you're going to be out here, Baby D probably stands for, the D probably stands for Detroit, because you're in here representing something that's not Chicago.
Ooh. So that's Baby T back there.
No, I think he said Baby D, not Baby T.
No, he said Baby. I'll check the film.
That's what I heard, too.
Yeah, you're D, right?
I heard Baby D.
Guys, I need a better nickname. Baby T is sticking on. The whole city knows it.
Bob
the hell?
Tree. Come on, man. Tree's the original.
Yeah, Tree.
I do like the guy who basically saying the Bears' win came at a cost of the game being horrible.
Sometimes you got to make sacrifices, Grody.
Like, there's opportunity cost for the Bears. The Bears, where they win, makes you feel like a loss, though. That's exactly what happened.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's a dub.
It's okay. You're right, right. Then two weeks, we won't even be thinking about how the Bears.
No, because you'd be thinking about that Commanders game.
Oh, man. Yeah. I like the guy, too, with the turtle. Honey, what's a slow animal?
Turtle, honey.
Yeah, slow is a turtle. Put that in your meatball machine. Put it right in there.
Sloth. Tortoise.
A sloth, a tortoise.
Slug.
Guess what we're doing when we come back?
We're probably transitioning.
To Vegas, baby.
Oh, that's right. They're still in Vegas.
They're still in Vegas.
Poor Alex. They're behind.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I feel like Alex is winning today. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a long trip in Vegas. I'm just saying, man.
Day five is probably not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a 72-hour rule.
This is all work today because they got to be thinking about their flight home, but we are going to go to Vegas next, and we will bring in Spiegel and Holmes. Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes are there. They will be here with us on the radio for Transition. It's next for Hemi, Harris, and Grody on The Score.
And the new Ray Diaz, and then, oh, man, is it Baby D or something?
Baby D, that's what he said.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere.
You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.